The Friends of Schenectady County Public Library will host an evening with Pulitzer Prize-winning author Elizabeth Strout on Wednesday, November 12th at 6:30 p.m. at the GE Theater at Proctor's in Schenectady, New York. Known for her widely acclaimed Olive Kitteridge and My Name is Lucy Barton, Strout has captivated readers worldwide with her moving stories of ordinary lives told with grace. At the event, Strout will discuss her writing process, the themes that shape her work, and the beloved characters that continue to resonate with readers. Open Door Bookstore will be at the event selling copies of Strout's books. Strout's latest Tell Me Everything returns to the town of Crosby, Maine, and to many of Strout's beloved characters as they deal with a shocking crime in their midst, forge new relationships and friendships, and make difficult decisions about love. I asked Elizabeth Strout how she decided to bring characters from her previous books together for Tell Me Everything.
It sort of gradually began to run around in my mind, and then it was sort of all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, these people are all living pretty much in the same town or close to each other. I mean, you know, Shirley Falls is 45 minutes away, and I just thought, but I think the initial thing for the book was, let's get Lucy Barton together with Olive Kitteridge, because they are so different and yet they're living there. And I thought, okay, so that was the first thing, was to have Olive summon Lucy, because Olive has a story to tell her. And that was sort of the beginning. And then I realized, okay, let's go with all these other people that are sitting around. And Bob Burgess, you know, I love him. So I made it a lot about Bob as well, because he's central to everybody. But I think that's how it started.
In the idea of just Tell Me Everything, it's these, the stories that are shared between Olive and Lucy. And what fascinated you about that, of these two women who are really bound in this novel and in this moment over stories?
You know, it occurred to me that Olive Kitteridge, as different as her personality is from Lucy, Olive is a curious person. And just because she's, you know, older now and living in this retirement home, it doesn't mean that she's not still very curious about the lives of people. And then I thought, that's something that she and Lucy will have in common. And of course, Olive is also, you know, lonely, and Lucy is a really good listener for her. And then I just realized, okay, let's have this as a motif that they will, every number of pages, you know, be telling each other a story about unrecorded lives, as they have called them.
And there is a sharing between the women as to the stories, and they're sort of feeling each other out too, aren't they, as to stories they find interesting and what they make of the stories.
Exactly, precisely. And, you know, when Lucy finally tells Olive a story, Olive doesn't think it's much of a story. And she's so surprised because she thinks Lucy's supposed to be a storyteller. And that was just sort of fun.
When you think of Lucy as a storyteller and as someone that you obviously have written about, so when you go into that, do you have a knowledge of the type of story that she is going to tell, that she's going to write, or a story that Olive would find interesting and fascinating?
Well, when I wrote that story, the first one that Lucy tells Olive, it really just came to me. I mean, I wasn't planning out a story necessarily, but I thought, okay, let's think from Lucy's, you know, head, this is what happened to her. And so she's going to tell Olive this, and she either doesn't tell it well, or it's not a story that Olive understands, except that Olive does ultimately understand it. So I'm never really sure when I sit down to work what will come out.
When you realize that, that seems like it could be a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
At times.
Oh, yeah.
What is that like?
Well, a lot comes out that just, you know, ends up on the floor, frankly. There's a lot that I write that I just realize, okay, that's not good. I'm not going to use that. But I don't know it until it's written. And then I realize, no, that's not working. So it's just a matter of, like I said at the beginning, it's just a matter of trying to be very true to the characters that I'm writing about, and to be sure and follow through with them according to who they are. Even though they will, I hope, surprise us, they surprise me, but it still has to be within their character, you see.
You have such an ensemble cast here, the main characters, but of course, spouses and ex-spouses and colleagues and friends and all kinds of shifts. And you have to keep track of all of that. I think even for us, the reader, we have a certain obligation to keep track of it, or at least I wanted to, which is fun. We know that we've perhaps read that name or heard that name, and then sometimes just say, oh, okay, that's who that person is.
And that's why the narrative voice of this book was a little different for me, because I realized rather soon on, I thought, okay, I have to have a very large, faraway narrator who's also up close and including the reader every step of the way. And I always think about the reader whenever I write. I always have. And so I had a especially close relationship with the reader this time, because I thought, okay, I don't want the reader to get confused. And I also, every time I write, I never assume that any reader has read any other of my work. And that was true with this book. So it can stand alone. And I needed the narrator to really actively take part in a way that I don't think I've ever quite done before, to help the reader feel safe as we were going from these different people to their different stories.
Tell us about the importance of Maine and specifically Crosby. There are other locations in this book in New York, Manhattan, and Brooklyn, but Crosby is where most of the action takes place and where these characters seem like they're most at home. What is it, do you think, about that place that adds so much to the fabric of the novel?
Well, I think that a small town is always, for me, it's always interesting fictionally, because dramatically one can take a character in that town and realize how they relate to another character, and yet somebody else in the town relates to that character in an entirely different way. So it's like a little bit of a microcosm. We're allowed to see the different facets of one character seen through all the different people in the town that know them. And I think that's interesting, because it sort of goes to the question of who are we actually? I'm this person with this person, and that person with that person, and obviously it's the same person, and yet it's not quite, you see?
And you have control over that, obviously, as the author, that you can present what side you want to present to us and allow us to run with that.
Exactly. I mean, when Bob Burgess is, visiting that woman, Mrs. Hasselbeck, in town, who he delivers groceries to, and she's asking him to take her old underpants and write a B on the back so she knows how to get the money.
Right.
That's a very different relationship than Bob has with anybody else in town. But that's because she's Mrs. Hasselbeck. She's old, she needs him, and so he does that for her. And then his relationship with somebody like Lucy or his wife is an entirely different relationship, and yet he's still Bob, you see. Still Bob.
You said earlier Bob was a character that had always intrigued you. This is a very decent person who perhaps doesn't really know just how decent he is.
That's right. He had a troubled background, and I think that might have, informed some of who he is, but he's just one of those people, and you do see them around. Just a nice person who's not deeply reflective, does not really understand that about himself, but just receives the problems of other people and tries to help them almost without his even knowing that about himself.
You write in this novel about his friendship with Lucy and the walks that they take and the talks that they have. Why is that relationship so important to him?
Because he feels heard by Lucy. And there's one point where the narrator says, who in this world does not want to be heard? And I think because Lucy is a very good listener, and she also talks to him as well, but Bob, in his quiet Bob way, feels like he is heard by Lucy. And when you're heard by somebody, you feel seen. And so that's a lovely comfort for a person to have, to be listened to, genuinely listened to.
You talked a moment ago about the finding the narrative voice to this novel was difficult at first. There is such a charm to it, though, where as you do, where the narrator will say, as you will recall, or as you will find out later. There is that conversational tone that you keep.
Yes. And that was once I was able to find that, then I thought, okay, this is the voice that I will tell this story to. And I will acknowledge to the reader, you know, you might've forgotten this, so I'm just going to remind you, not I, but you know, the narrator.
Right. And that seems to me that's something that you have the reader in mind throughout the process.
That's right. I do. And I always have.
I've spoken to many authors who say, I don't worry about the reader until the end. And sometimes I don't even worry about them then. But that is a different idea.
Yeah. You know, years ago, I realized, wait a minute, if I can make up a character, I can make up a reader. And I have the presence of a reader sitting across from me at the table all the time. And that ideal reader is without gender, it's just a presence. But the ideal reader that I have that I'm writing for is somebody who's patient, but not really patient. Somebody who's, you know, interested, but not super interested. And so my job is to deliver to this reader something that makes that reader feel included and that will want to go with me through the book.
And that makes it extraordinary in the sense that for a person who may be patient or may not be patient, that you want to get their attention. And
it's
figuring that out.
I want them to come with me and I want to prove to them that I can deliver something that will be helpful to them ultimately on some level, you know. Even if it just means for 2 minutes, they don't feel as alone as they did, or they recognize something about themselves that they didn't know, or they realize that they know somebody else better now, whatever it is, I need to deliver that to the reader.
In the stories that Lucy and Olive share, I think Olive says at one point that a story needs to have a point. Do you feel that as well?
I think the point can come in many different ways. I think there has to be a reason that a reader will read something, but I don't know that it needs to have a point in the sense of an old-fashioned, you know, English teacher type of what's the point of this story. But there needs to be some reason that the reader will go with you.
And that seems to be something that you are so good at, because in my reading of your work, there seem to be many points that are made throughout.
Yeah. There's just even a half a line here or there that I hope somebody will go, oh, right.
We were talking about Lucy and Bob and their relationship, and I don't want to give anything away, but the relationship does evolves through the novel. Were you aware of how that would work out?
You know, I was not. And the more that I wrote them, the more nervous I became. Because I thought, oh my, you know, I have to deal with this. What is going to happen here? And I really did not know what was going to happen with them. And I just finally realized, okay, just stay true to who they are, stay true to who they are. And so that was what helped me. And then the very final scene in the book, it came to me almost like an inspiration. It just arrived. And then I thought, oh, okay, phew. There we are.
Are you conscious when you're doing it of even in creating a new character, a character that will be added to the cast that you have assembled, of what is needed, of an ingredient that is needed in the mixture?
Yeah, I mean, like there's Matt Beach and, you know, his mother and his sister, which are totally new characters in this book. And I'm, again, conscious that the reader needs to be able to see them, visualize them, you know, get a visual sense of who this fellow is, Matt Beach. And I have to make sure that he's speaking his thoughts to mostly Bob, I guess, is the one he's talking to the most.
Right.
But to make sure that his dialogue is authentic to him, you know, so all those things, I have to make sure that the reader can have a clear image. Who's this guy? Who is he, Matt Beach?
And this goes back to a thought that we were talking about in regards to Bob, but Matt, the character too, is often misunderstood.
You're absolutely right. And the more that I worked with Matt, the more intriguing I found him to be. And obviously Bob, I think Bob transforms his life. And Bob isn't even fully aware that he is doing such a wonderful thing for Matt Beach, but he is, and there they are, just fellows.
We're reminded that Bob is an attorney and Bob is assisting Matt. And it is interesting because that is a relationship that has its own set of rules.
That's right.
And yet it is also a relationship that evolves and becomes a very strong bonding. And so again, skirting the story here, but I did mention in the introduction, I mean, there is a crime that's committed, and there is a mystery element to this. And was that something that you have explored in the past or wanted to take a crack at?
You know, it's funny because I've never had any interest in writing any, sort of mystery thing at all. But it just came to me the way these things come to me. I just kept thinking of a quarry, which is obviously where the mother's body is found. And for some reason, I just thought about this quarry, and then I sort of thought about a red wig. I mean, it just wouldn't go away. And that's frequently how I find my characters or my stories is just that something sort of arrives and doesn't go away. And that's what happened with this particular part of the book. I just thought, okay, then I guess I'm going to run with it and see what happens.
Elizabeth Strout is the author of Tell Me Everything, a novel. It is published by Random House. I do want to talk about Olive Kittredge. This is a wonderful character, and I'm curious how that character first came to you, and did you ever have any idea that you'd still be writing about this character?
No, I have never in ever intended to write about a character again, and yet they stay with me, especially somebody like Olive. She just, the first time I met Olive, so to speak, I was unloading the dishwasher, and I just felt this presence behind me, and I heard the inside of her head say, "It's high time everybody went home." And I thought, "Whoa, this is strong. I've got to get this down." So I went right down and wrote that, and then that's Olive. So Olive just shows up, and then she showed up again, a few years later, and I had to write Olive again because she does show up. But when she's Olive, you can't mess around with Olive.
It comes, and this is what you do beautifully in the novel. But as she shows up, you know so much about her just by a word, a phrase, you have her waving her hand in the air a lot in this novel.
And she swings her
Yes, and
foot.
swinging the foot. Exactly.
Not all she does, except sits and says everything. I mean, says a few things once in a while.
And this is an elderly woman, but a very active woman, very active and very engaged.
Yes, very much. And she remains engaged. And I feel deeply for Olive, actually.
I think the last time we spoke, we did a live event at Hotchkiss School in Connecticut, and you, I believe, said to me at that time that you could never kill that character off.
Nope.
Do you still feel that way?
I do. I have been saying that I realize I will, Olive Kittredge will never die on my watch. I will not let that happen. So.
And is the reason for that because of the love that this goes back to your relationship with the readers, but of our love for this character and not wanting to deal with that part of life, which can lead to death, of course.
Right. And I mean, death is obviously tremendously real. It's one of the only few things that all of us have in common. And yet, Olive is so alive. I feel like she is so alive on the page for the reader that she's just going to stay alive on the page for the reader because it's fiction. I don't need to carry her through.
Would you ever bring her back in time of look at an earlier aspect of her life?
I don't think so. A couple of readers that I've met have asked me that, and I don't think so. I think that she is going to continue to mature. If I even see her again, I'm not sure I will, but I don't think I'm interested at this point in her younger life.
Olive Kittredge was first, and then Lucy Barton was created. When Lucy came, what is it that you wanted to explore and understand about this character with a very traumatic childhood?
Yeah, Lucy arrived as her voice. And that's why, up until this book, the Lucy books are are written in first person. Well, anything is possible is not, but that's, but you know, my name is Lucy Barton, O. William. Those are written in Lucy's first person voice. And it was the voice that arrived to me, whereas Olive arrived to me as a presence. And it was like, oh, there's Olive. And, but Lucy's voice was like, sort of like a gold thread that was coming down from the ceiling. And I kept thinking, if I can catch that voice, then I can do her character. And I, so I just kept trying to find her voice and stay with her voice. And she did. She had a very rough, very impoverished background, as people do. And later I realized, you know, I had grown up in two small towns in my life, and I realized that there were families just like Lucy's in those small towns. And I really, and I wanted to give them a voice. I was driving around Maine with my husband in a rural part, and I saw this house and it said sewing and alterations. And there was a boy getting out of the car with his mother and he looked so sad. And I thought, right, I want his story to be told. So essentially that's what I was trying to do with Lucy.
When you look at this family of characters, and it's a, as most families are, they can be shaggy and not always pristine, but is there again, this goes back to a beginning of our conversation about the mood, but a comfort in having this utility belt filled with really beautiful characters that can be used in different settings?
Yes, I feel like all of these characters, every one of them, I just love. Basically, I love them. And I don't really care how badly behaved they are, because people behave badly sometimes, you know, so that's not my concern. My concern is just, I love them and I want to record them and I want to share them with the reader.
Bad behavior is relative, right? I mean, we don't,
what is accepted. Oh my goodness, it sure is, yes.
There, I mentioned the family part, but there's also many of these characters are just inherently lonely, aren't they?
Yeah, there is a sense of that. And that's why I'm so interested in having them connect with each other in the variety of different ways. And I've spoken before, I think, about moments of grace that, you know, no matter how lonely a story might appear at first blush to a reader, there's always a moment of grace in that story. And I think there's many moments of grace in this book, meaning there are many moments of connection, of genuine connection with another person, and they don't feel nearly as lonely as a result, no matter if it's a big connection or a little connection.
I was going to say big connection, little connection, because there are moments of grace that are life altering in some.
That's right. Exactly. Absolutely.
It makes us, it makes the reader want to befriend that character as much as another character would befriend that character.
Right. That's, I hope so. That's a sweet thought. I like that. Thank you.
I when you look at this body of work, which is just tremendous, this novel, Tell Me Everything, is an Oprah pick. It's the second, I believe, correct? Second Oprah pick. That says a lot, of course, and is it is winning the Super Bowl in publishing. What is it like to get that call?
Oh, it was amazing both times. I was completely I was really surprised. I mean, the first time I was really surprised, the second time I was even more surprised because she'd already chosen one. I didn't know that she could do it again, but she did. It was really quite lovely. I actually thought somebody was playing a joke on me the second time.
What was it in the book that she saw that touched her?
I think that she was just she just loved the themes of friendship, you know, and the whole idea of the many, many layers of friendships that can occur and do occur in this world, from, you know, the so-called small to the really large and important.
Elizabeth Strout's latest book is Tell Me Everything. The Friends of Schenectady County Public Library will host an evening with Elizabeth Strout on Wednesday, November 12th at 6:30 at the GE Theater at Proctor's in Schenectady, New York. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.